Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back all the way from Colorado, Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief, and we love having him on. You can also, I'm gonna slide you guys and do you a solid and slide you his email address. It's schultzco@gmail.com. So his last name, S-H-U-L-T-S-C-O @gmail.com. Also, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the founder of the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org, retired from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department. About 34 years of law enforcement experience. And I should say, I'm going to steal this from Brett, exemplary law enforcement experience. So thank you so much for being on the show, Randy. And he's got some announcements for the Wounded Blue as well. Of course, the summit's coming up, so you guys got to stay tuned for that. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Skulls at Gulls.com. Also, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we started satellite radio back on May the 5th, and it's been a great ride ever since. Also, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arms sponsor. Yes, they are back. And we have GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor, helping us reach 1.5 million people on the stream right now. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and also FishOrlandoBass.com. They have the bass fishing charters. If you're taking the wife and the kids to Disney, just keep the car and drive. Stop it. Let them out. Let them go do the Disney thing and head over to FishOrlandoBass.com, do the fishing charter, or if you're feeling very adventurous, you can always do the alligator hunting and relocate, you know, catch and release these alligators. So, hey, we're in Florida. They're all over the place. So keep that option open. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich at FormerLawman.com and LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. Now, what in the world are we talking about today? We've got some interesting stories. You know, we've got the first one. It's an update article, but it's a West Memphis police officers, plural, fired amid sexual misconduct investigation. So when I started reading this, I started thinking it was maybe a dispatcher. They were saying it was an officer involved, but I'm still, something's telling me dispatcher. So we'll see what you guys think. And then the next one we've got, Clark County Sheriff deputies fatally shoot Brandon Whitcomb, who threatened his parents with a gun, and it didn't end so good for him. Then we got LAPD police officer shoots and wounds a suspect who was shooting up a firearm in the streets. And then we got a court overturns a jury verdict, and Randy's going to be all over this one. Court in Philadelphia police, they overturned a jury verdict that was against the cops, and now they are ordering a new trial. And there's something called, you know, qualified immunity involved here. Pomona police detective shoots a suspect who presented a replica gun during a foot chase, and then police chief's three-year-old is killed in a dog attack, and the canine that he was keeping at his house to help out the police department. We also have a surveillance video showing a fatal crash. There's a 79-year-old man riding a bicycle in Martin County in Florida, and the deputy who the sheriff is backing up, there's a collision, and unfortunately this gentleman dies. So we're going to cover that as well. So guys, if you're ready, let's go ahead and get started. You know, our first story, Fox16.com, West Memphis police officers fired amid sexual misconduct investigation. So it says that four or five West Memphis police officers being investigated for sexual misconduct have been fired. Now it says Major Stacy Allen, Captain Mose Walker, Evora Hall, remember that name, Evora Hall, and then Officer Treasure Gaither and Officer Blake Forthman, they were all placed on administrative leave. But of course, that's not being fired, right? You're on admin. You can be on admin with pay, or you can be an admin without pay. It's normally up to the discretion of the chief or the sheriff. But they go on to say that WREG can confirm that all of those individuals, except for Evora Hall, have been terminated from their jobs. So, so I was doing the math and watching this. So I'm automatically thinking, and then that's the only name that doesn't have officer in front of it. And so I'm thinking, you know, Randy, I'm thinking, you know, dispatcher. I mean, come on, you know, and we've all been there. So a former officer says that she sounded the alarm years ago on four West Memphis police officers that were put on leave after allegations of sexual misconduct. Now, they're talking about a female named Jennifer Jordan, who is an extra person they're throwing into the mix now, but she's no longer a cop. She spent 13 years on the West Memphis Police Force, and she left in 2021, said that as a top female officer, 12 to 13 other women had come to her with complaints about not feeling safe in their work environment. Does not give a lot of specifics, though. Jordan said the firing of the officers is a step in the right direction for the department, and back in 2021, three women came forward, said that they experienced harassment and discrimination by the major, who was Major Allen, with complaints against him that dated back to at least 2017. But again, no specifics. And so I have to admit that I'm taking some of this with a grain of salt, because without the specifics and with this dated stuff, I mean, we're talking about like back in 2017. Well, that was like 8 years ago. You know, it makes me question, you know, what was done or how, if the complaints were really made to in the right, you know, in the right way. Police Chief Campbell said that due to an ongoing litigation, they're unable to comment further at the time, and updates will be provided when appropriate. So that's kind of hinting that there's some kind of a civil litigation going. Lieutenant Randy.
So I've been following this case for a while. These are some bad seeds that are in positions of authority in this police department. This police department has a lot of issues, They've got issues going back years. And you know, when you're talking about, well, you know, these allegations are from 2017, that's because they've been getting away with it since 2017. This major is a predator. I fully believe that. And believe it or not, this is not an uncommon situation in law enforcement, and it's an embarrassment. I was actually having a conversation with some female officers that we at the Wounded Blue are providing peer support for, and their stories of how of sexual harassment and sexual assault taking place in police agencies is stunning. And it's very, very, it's very disappointing. And it's not, this is not an uncommon issue. And so, you know, having heard some of these stories firsthand, this is something where law enforcement needs to step up its game, be professional, and realize that, you know, women police officers are here to stay. They're part of our fabric. They need to be treated like the professionals that they are.
So let me, and thanks for clearing that up, Randy. So we're talking about West, not Memphis Police, but West Memphis Police Department, correct?
West Memphis, right. Arkansas. It's on the other side of the Mississippi River from Memphis, but it's in the metro area.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And so I wait, there were no specifics given. I got to ask you, was the female that I was questioning, was she actually an officer, or is she a civilian employee, or do you know, or?
There were multiple people who were part of this, who were victimized, and that includes sworn personnel as well.
Okay, all right. Well, at least they're holding people accountable then, and hopefully it'll send shockwaves through the agency to prevent anybody else from doing that, and hopefully nearby agencies as well too. So there are just, you know, I know that there's a new look that we put up with a lot more back in the heyday, right, back in the early 80s and stuff, you know, but you've got to treat your officers with respect. And I hate hearing when there's validity to these kinds of complaints, you know, I hate hearing that. So it makes us all look bad. So, or thanks for sharing light. Any more?
West Memphis has a fairly new police chief. He was a high ranking officer from Memphis, Tennessee, and then just recently came in. So maybe, you know, to his credit, this thing is coming to a head. And I think Randy's description, and again, some assumptions here, but Randy's description of this major in particular as a predator. Here's the problem with this pattern of stuff. Like any predator, you start out pushing the envelope, seeing what you can get away with. And if you get away with a little bit, then you get away with a little bit more. And then that continues. It's just like, you know, like a child molester, forgive me for the drastic comparison, but it's pushing boundaries. And so for somebody to particularly in the early days of their career, and somebody in authority is doing a little bit of this, a little bit of this, and you're uncomfortable, but you gotta keep your job. Then it gets to a point where it's just intolerable, but you look around and nothing's ever been done, and it's part of the culture. And one of the things I've learned over my years is that department cultures vary. You know, police work's police work. As I've said, I've ridden with over 50 agencies, including Tampa and Las Vegas. And police work's police work, but the culture's always different. I've worked for departments where there was a high moral expectation of officers in the community. And I've worked for a department when they did the old choir practice where the evening shift would go out to the city park and get drunk and expect the officers to drive them home. And everybody was sleeping with everybody, myself excluded. So it really is leadership. It comes down to leadership.
All right. Excellent. And good point, Shulman. Well, hey, we're coming up on our first commercial break, and I have just enough time to kind of whet the appetite for the next story. So our next story is kind of the video component, and we're going to be talking about the Clark County Sheriff deputies that fatally shoot a bad guy who threatened his parents with a gun. So stick with us, guys. It's our first commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources, especially when you throw the online mix into it. But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And, you know, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. I just ordered a new pair of boots, Chief. Waterproof. Can't wait to get them in. I'll let you know, and I'll show them off when I get them on the show. And they have gift cards, and we give away a couple every week on the show. So hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card at Gauls.com, and they will be your new best friends as well. And a lot of people, if you haven't checked out Gauls, I encourage you to go to Gauls right now, or maybe after the show's over at Gauls.com. They really have a lot to offer, everything but guns and ammo at Gauls.com. Now we're going to be talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And you know, they've got a lot going on there, guys. And they don't have just the glove either. You know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand rapidly and safely in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing their conductor distraction and de-escalation technology. They refer to that as CD3. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. It said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually have eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and Lieutenant Randy Sutton. Guys, any more commentary on the first update article? Because Randy brought up a good topic that we need to talk about. So are you ready to make the move, Randy?
Ready.
Randy brought up DC. Look, we talked about some of the stuff on yesterday's show. I gotta be honest with you. And we had Jeff Wendinger on, and I made a prediction. Now, I was in the minority because Chief Chris Noller in Pueblo, Colorado, and also Jeff Wendinger, they don't think anything is going to come out of this stuff. I, for one, with what I'm seeing, I am expecting and suspect that there are grand juries that, if they're not in session already, that they will be. I suspect they're probably already in session. I expect to see some indictments for what's happening. Pam Bondi, our good friend, has just taken over the police department. Essentially, they just appointed the DEA director in charge of the Metro Police and given him carte blanche. And I believe they were setting the stage to control not the narrative, guys, but just to control the natives, for lack of a better word, you know, the hoodlums and the vocal minority that are going to lose their minds when we start seeing people, you know, getting indicted and stuff. That's what I think. That's what I'm looking for. But I was in the minority yesterday. But I'm only predicting indictments. I'm not predicting, you know, convictions and that kind of stuff. But Randy, what is that where you were going to go? Is that where you wanted to go?
No, that's not where I wanted to go.
Where did you want to go?
Where I want to go is this is unprecedented in our. I'm fascinated by what's taking place.
But where specifically? You're not talking about Russia and Alaska and Ukraine. I mean, you're talking about DC, right?
Yeah. I'm talking about DC.
I want to hear
This
this.
is there has never been a federal government takeover as we are seeing now in Washington, D.C. It's never been done before. Even to the point where the police chief has been basic, who, by the way, is an idiot. But she has been literally removed from office. I don't know how you can do that. And then an interim commander placed in her stead, given very broad duties. Now, there's now National Guard troops, there's FBI, there's ATF, there's thousands of this surge of law enforcement, very visible. Here's where I'm watching, and that is, this is totally unsustainable, right? You can only do this for a certain period of time.
Right.
The cockroaches, who are the criminal element in Washington, D.C., have been so used to al being allowed to do exactly what they want with no consequences, right? Because let's look at where this whole thing came from. It came from the ideological insanity of the city council of Washington, D.C. They're the ones that have literally dismantled the effective criminal justice system in D.C. by destroying laws, by destroying the ability of the police to police. The Washington, D.C. Metro PD is down 800 cops. They can't hire people because of what the city council and mayor have done. Then they put into place a corrupt leadership within the agency. And they're talking about, oh, well, wait a minute, it's not necessary because the crime has gone down. It has not gone down. They
Cook
have
the
lied
books.
to the people. They have gaslighted them by the administration telling the police officers. They literally go out on the street and tell cops, downgrade that crime that you just took so it doesn't hit the books.
Yeah.
So this is a total mess, and it's very interesting to me to see how this is going to be fixed, if it even can be fixed.
Chief, if only we had a chief on the show.
Yeah, I've just been looking up the phrase chain of command because I've never heard that. So,
I heard about that too. Yeah. Yeah.
unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, what happens in DC happens in DC. It's a district. It's a unique geopolitical thing, you know, in its space and its governance. I don't want to see, and I fear, similar takeovers in other cities. I mean, there's this specter of, okay, if you're a blue city with a lot of crime, we're going to bring in the National Guard and some federal agents. First of all, I've been to DC a lot of times, and it's crawling with federal cops of all different kinds of stripes to begin with. But you know, I've been watching this gradual federal takeover of local law enforcement for years with the DOJ consent decrees and the attempt to pass the George Floyd Act with national standards and setting policy in DC for local cops. And I don't like it. And so I don't like the specter of these potential takeovers happening in other cities. You know, and the law would be entirely different. So I think we need to be aware of that. What will really change is when the citizens say, I'm fed up, I'm going to vote differently, and things are going to change because I, as a citizen, am going to create the change. That's really where it needs to come from. What happens in DC happens in DC. I don't know.
Yep, it needs to be fixed at the polls. Totally agree.
So this is you guys know that my new book, Rescuing 911, The Fight for America's Safety, came out a few months ago. And I address this is very right in the wheelhouse of my book. And Chief, you and I agree on the fact that the specter of a federal takeover of law enforcement should be really frightening to people. The local law enforcement exists for a reason. With it, I mean, there's good and there's bad. However, I think we may disagree on one other topic that you brought up, and that is standardization. I am a believer that a cop needs to be trained as well in a five-man police department in Texas as they are in Las Vegas.
Good point, Randy. Hold that thought. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we are introducing, yes, they're back, Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns, one of my favorite subjects. You know, they're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. You know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. They're M4, E1 Pro, and their Mod 4 handguards. They hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com, and that was last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that a lot of you guys can start getting a hold of some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. All right, now we're going to be talking about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs and warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to Blue the Gold. .com. They translate search and seizure documents in the clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, community caretaking, August the 20th. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and Lieutenant Randy Sutton. Guys, we got a little debate going on, yes, between the lieutenant and the chief. We've been talking about what's been going on in D.C. And, you know, Randy, I know you're also going to break some news in a second. But with you having the microphone back after the commercial break, can you just kind of restate the debate that's going on, what the position is, so that our audience, if there's anyone just logging into the show, that they'll know what you're talking about?
Sure. So we were talking about what's taking place in D.C. with the federal takeover of the D.C. Police Department. And of course, what is going to be the end game with this? And it's going to be very interesting to watch. So during this discussion, the chief was talking about to be concerned about federal takeovers of other agencies. And he and I are in complete agreement about that. But he also said something about standardization. And I'm a believer in standardized police training. Because in my opinion, there is such a wide, diverse difference in the way police officers are trained from one community to another. And I think that we owe it to our officers and to the public to standardize training so that a police officer in a small community in Texas can be given the same quality of training and amount of training as a cop in Las Vegas. And that's where we left it.
And I wanted to clarify, I don't disagree with the standardization. I live in a county that has 7,000 people in it. We have a hospital. If I go to the ER, I want the same kind of care that if I were in Denver. So I agree with that. The question is, what's the source? I'd rather that a professional organization rather than the legislature make those standards, because the legislature is going to get political. That's why we lost the carotid hold. That's why we lost PR24. That's why we lost, you know, a lot of different things. And we have a lot of post boards that have been legislated into 4-hour, 8-hour, 16-hour blocks of politically correct crap that the officer doesn't need as far as their basic training. So if we have a professional organization that recommends standards, and, you know, we're getting closer to that, because those standards become the standard of care in civil liability. And so, you know, there's an incentive there to have standards. So I absolutely agree that, and I've worked small departments all my life, and I want the same standard of care. Just a question of who's making those rules. The second point about that is, you know, we haven't really brought science into police training and police response until the last maybe 15 years, whenever force science began to be a force. And many of your experts that you have on your show, Chip, have relied on some of that research. I mean, We've spent millions on learning how a basketball player can throw a basket consistently, and a football player can catch a football consistently. And we do videos and time, you know, anatomical stuff. But when it comes to cops, we haven't spent that much effort in finding out what's really true and what's really right. So we've got a long way to go, but I fundamentally don't disagree with the idea of standards. I just want to make sure that the professionals set the standards, not the politicians.
I am in 100% agreement with you about that. Let me illustrate this with a story. You guys will remember the little boy that got shot to death in, I believe it was either Cleveland or Cincinnati. A number of years ago, he was a 12-year-old. He was playing with a toy gun
in a park.
And I was all over the media on that, right? And then I looked into, because it was clearly a training issue. The officer who was driving the car literally pulled up right next to where the kid was before, and his partner is the one who shot the kid, because he was literally within a very close proximity, thought the weapon was real. And killed the little boy. And I saw that this is a training issue. This officer never should have pulled up in the manner in which he did. He basically forced his partner into a deadly force situation. So I called the equivalent of post in the Police Officer Standard Training Commission in Ohio. And I said, I'm curious as to what your advanced training requirements are. And you know, every state has them. You know, you got to go to so many hours of training. The minimum is usually 24. So I asked, and I said, what's the standard? You know, what are the standards there? And they said, well, you're required to take 6 hours. I said, wow. Wait a minute, 6 hours for the whole year? And they said, yeah. And I said, that's insane. Even the firearms training takes longer than 6 hours for the year. It was a sworn officer that was in charge, and he had an off the record conversation with me, and he said, listen, the last time we had an incident like what you're calling about, there was a huge outcry that our cops weren't trained enough, so the state legislature mandated 24 hours of advanced training. He says, but what they did was they mandated but didn't give any funds for it. So essentially, for political purposes, they said you got to have 24 hours of training, but we're not going to give you the money to do it. And this is when you're talking about the state, you know, the legislature is getting involved and the politicians getting involved. You hit it right on the head, Joel. That is exactly this is a perfect example of why politicians shouldn't get involved in situations like this.
Well, hopefully you guys are enjoying the conversation. I'm talking to our listeners. Wow. That is sad. Randy, you have an announcement that you want to make on the show.
Yes. So the National Law Enforcement Survival Summit coming up in September 22nd through the 25th here in Las Vegas. This is incredible. The TV show Cops and a patriotic donor have now given me funds that I can offer any police officer in the United States who's been injured in the line of duty, either physically or emotionally, will get in for free.
Oh, really?
It's unbelievable. They, the cops, of course, you know, I have a very special relationship with them, having appeared on the show many times. And Morgan Langley, who is the owner of the TV show, is a huge supporter of law enforcement. And he recognizes the sacrifice that these men and women make, and they and an anonymous patriotic donor who only wants the message to be heard that people care, the American people care about their police, have given us enough funds that we can waive the costs for the summit. And this is on a trust basis. We're not going to give you an application. If you're a police officer or have been and you've been injured in the line of duty, and you tell me, yeah, Randy, I was injured in live duty, I want to come to the summit, you will get in for free. This is an unprecedented opportunity. I'm very proud of COPS and our patriotic donor. So all you got to do is contact me, randy@thewoundedblue.org. That's randy@thewoundedblue.org. I will put you on the list. And the hotels are given unbelievable rates. You just got to get here. You're getting in for free. And this is going to heal a lot of cops.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible. Chief?
I'm just going to make an additional appeal. I'm not able to make it out this year, but I was out last year. And it's an intense experience. It's very real. It's very raw. A lot of fun, a lot of stories. So it's a great event. But let me encourage people, if you know some small town cop that has been wounded and has been shoved aside and forgotten in the dust, please tell them about this opportunity because it will change their life.
Agreed.
Absolutely
totally
right.
Agree.
Absolutely
might save their life.
Excellent opportunity. They're very serious, guys. So thewoundedblue.org. Guys, we've got a time. Well, we don't have a lot of time before our last commercial break coming up. We have a lot of entries for the contest, though, which is a good thing. Let me go ahead and cover our first story with a video component at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. We have a Clark County sheriff deputy or deputies. They fatally shoot Brandon Whitcomb, who threatened his parents with a gun.
Gun.
Get on the ground right now. You're going to get shot. You're going to get shot. Drop it now. You're going to get shot. You're going to get shot. Cover, cover, cover.
Get to my car. Find my car now.
Get back here. Get back here. Get back here. Everybody good?
So we're in Vancouver, Washington, Washington State. The Clark County Sheriff's Office releases body cam footage of a July 30th incident and where a deputy shot and killed a guy that was a confrontation with law enforcement in downtown Vancouver. Brandon Michael Whitcomb, he's 36 years old. He ended up being killed by multiple gunshots to the head, neck, and the torso. Our cop, amazingly, I think that maybe every round found its target. In an initial news release, the sheriff's office said that someone had called 911 to report that their son had broken into their home while he was high on meth and that he was armed and he threatened to kill them. So the caller then said their son had left on a bicycle. And now Vancouver from police, they spot the suspect, later identified as Whitcomb. The suspect reported that he was still armed. And then deputies confronted him and he ended up being shot about 4 minutes after the Vancouver officer first spotted him. So we've got, you know, the Clark County Sheriff's Office involved, those deputies, and then and Vancouver police. The deputy who shot Whitcomb was later identified as Deputy Michael Gonzalez. And I'm going to go in and stop there. We'll finish the story in just 1 second. We're coming up on our last commercial break, guys. If you haven't entered the contest yet, please do. We will be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, competent and certified firearm specialists like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source all the way back since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, the founder, Dana Kelly's got a deal for you. You can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is at GunLearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And, you know, we're joined by Randy Sutton, Lieutenant Las Vegas Metro Police, and former Chief Joel Schultz. He needs no introduction. And Randy was just talking about the summit coming up for the Wounded Blue, and he's going to give his email address out again for a unique opportunity. I'll let Randy tell you about it one more time.
Yeah, any police officer or former police officer who has been injured in line of duty, either physically or you're struggling with PTS, through Cops TV show and patriotic donor, you will get into the summit for free. The cost of the summit will be waived for you. All you got to do is contact me directly, randy@thewoundedblue.org, randy@thewoundedblue.org. There's no application. This is just on your honor. If you've been hurt on duty.
And we're getting some sound.
And this is
Randy's sound is kind of going, but just to help him out, Randy at thewoundedblue.org. For people watching the video portion of the show, you can see the banner that I have up there as well. So you guys, I'll leave it up so you guys can have the time to write that down. But a fantastic opportunity, guys. So please take advantage of that. So while you guys are taking you know, care of that, let's go ahead and pop onto our story with the video component. And, you know, I was just telling the story of this one. We've got a deputy or deputies and officers that are working this thing. And we're in the state of Washington in Vancouver. Clark County Sheriff deputies fatally shoot Brandon Whitcomb, who threatened his parents with a gun. And I kind of left off talking about how the deputy who shot Whitcomb was later identified as Deputy Michael Gonzalez. The video released Wednesday includes silent footage from Gonzalez's patrol vehicle cam and the footage from the body cam, you know, when he got out of it. And it goes on to say that this footage starts with law enforcement. They're following the suspect. He's on a bicycle and he's armed with a firearm, and they realize that. And the man apparently jumps off the bike as Deputy Gonzalez is getting out of his car. So Deputy Gonzalez turns around. Body cam footage is showing the bike laying on the street. The guy's running on the sidewalk. And now we got a Vancouver cop that's about 10 feet behind him. So remember, two agencies working together to grab this bad guy. So the deputy briefly runs toward the two individuals, the officer and the bad guy he's chasing. He draws his gun, and the man stops in front of a closed store entrance, and he turns around. The deputy and the Vancouver officer, they both stop while still in the street. The Vancouver officer also draws his gun, and the deputy yells, "Hey, get on the ground right now. You're going to get shot." Now, I know what you're thinking. The deputy's saying that to the police officer, right? No, no, no. He's actually saying that to the bad guy. I know how you think, Randy. So I thought I would just clear that up. But so the man drops to his knees, our bad guy. As soon as the deputy begins shouting and he continues to move forward on his knees, the bad guy, it says that he's holding his arms in position with his elbows out and his hands are raised in front of his chest. Now, it says that due to the video quality, it says that it's unclear whether he's holding anything. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, you can clearly see a firearm in the guy's right hand. He's got it up pointed underneath his chin, and it looks like he's threatening suicide is what it looks like if they screw with him. So I don't know what kind of video quality they're talking about, but you can clearly see that. So the deputy again shouts, "You're going to get shot. Drop it now." And the man, he kind of curls his body. He's on his knees and he kind of curls his body, but he's still got the gun in that position. And then he turns away from the officers. And then the deputy yells again, "Hey, you're going to get shot a third time." And so our guy decides to make a move that wasn't wise. And he moves the gun in a position that is not under his chin anymore, but where it could go in the direction towards the deputy and the officer. And so our deputy fires four shots in rapid succession. I think he hit the guy every time. The man falls backwards, raising his head up. You hear an audible clank, and that's the gun falling on the sidewalk. And, it's game over. The guy died at the scene. So we've got a little over 5.5 minutes, guys, commentary on this one. Whoever, we got two open mics. Go ahead, Chief.
Yeah, I'll make a couple of comments and then hand it over to Randy. First of all, if a person is suicidal, they're potentially homicidal. And I'm, not trying to make light of whatever situation they're going through mentally. But one of the most dangerous times for an officer is during the time of surrender. And there are bad guys that are clever enough to try to falsely surrender and posture for another attack. And so if anybody's criticizing, an officer, why would you kill somebody that wants to kill themselves? You should try to save them. No room for error on that. Secondly, this guy that's command of the scene, I would almost guarantee he's a combat veteran. He was so calm. It was like, oh, here we go again. Here's another day. The only time he gets excited is when he forgets his latex gloves, near the end of the scenario. I just thought he did a tremendous job of taking command of that scene and coordinating their officers and slowing things down. And I just think he did a great job. I don't know if you've worked with combat veterans before or somebody that's been through a lot of hairy situations, but when it hits the fan, those guys go low and slow. When they start talking calmly, something big is going on. So that was just an observation. I would love to find out if he was a combat vet or not. He acted like it.
Interesting. Lieutenant Randy.
You hit it right on the head. The difference between suicide and homicide is literally a millisecond. And we've seen that play out over and over again. And of course, then you talk, he's already suicidal. And many people don't want to pull the trigger themselves, so they force the cops to do it, and they place, you know, the police in the position to take their own, to take their life. This happens so more often than I think people realize, that the suicide by cop. I mean, me personally, I was involved in two shootings that were suicide by cop, and you know, this is a phenomenon that is all too familiar to cops around this country, and you know, it brings forth its own sets of trauma to the law enforcement officers who are involved in this, who are basically being put in the position where they have to make that life and death decision.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that they put us in that position sometimes, is it not? Because now we got to live with this the rest of our lives, or get professional help from people like, you know, Randy and the Wounded Blues. So that's unfortunate. So, and that's why what you do is even more important, Randy. Well,
agreed.
Well, guys, we've got about 2.5 minutes. I think we have just enough time to cover the second update article that I was hoping to cover, because I really would like to hear what Randy has to say on this and the chief. Tampa FP, which is the TampaFreePress.com, court. Well, you act surprised, chief, that I want your input on this. I mean, come on. But court overturns a jury verdict against Philadelphia cops and orders a new trial. I found this kind of fascinating, guys. In a significant decision for police liability cases, the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania, they vacated a $162,000 plus jury judgment against two Philly cops, and they've ordered a new trial. So this is against the cops individually. The court ruled that the trial judge, he made a fundamental error by not instructing the jury to determine whether or not the officer's actions constituted, quote, willful misconduct, unquote, under the state's Tort Claims Act. Now, the case at Scott versus Canela Perez and Lutz, and it stemmed from a civil lawsuit that was filed by Reginald Scott, who alleged that he was injured during an arrest back in July of 2019. Scott had sued Officer Brian Canela Perez and Officer George Lutz, or Lutz, for assault, battery, civil conspiracy, intentional infliction of emotional distress. Now, the jury in Philadelphia, they found in favor of Scott in August of 2023, but the officers appealed, and they argued that they were protected by government immunity, meaning qualified immunity. The appeal centered on the key provision of the Pennsylvania Tort Claim Act, or the statute. It provides immunity for local government employees, including police officers, unless their conduct is found to be what we call, quote, willful misconduct, which is why that term is so important in this thing. So anyhow, what is, and I'm rushing through this here, in an opinion written by Judge Christine Fasano Cannon, the Commonwealth concluded that the trial court's refusal to provide these particular instructions was a fundamental error. They explained that the jury, while the jury can find an officer liable for an intentional tort like assault or battery, that finding alone is not sufficient to bypass the immunity that is granted by the Tort Claims Act. So they're ordering a new trial. And so that's where we're at. Commentary on this, guys.
Oh, the court got it right. I'm shocked, but the court got it right. That this is exactly what qualified immunity is about. And of course, you know, many, many states have tried to, you know, utterly destroy qualified immunity. And Philadelphia, with its Larry Krasner district attorney, Soros funded district attorney, they've been very negative towards law enforcement. So I'm happy to see a judge made a correct decision here.
Yeah, and of course, it's qualified. You have to qualify for it. But I'm glad they got it right. I'd hate to. I mean, Judge Cannon, I like the way, I mean, this lower court judge got spanked. And, you know, it's something that you just don't want on your resume. But I'm glad they did it, and they didn't hold back. So, hey, another fantastic show, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, Chief Joel Schultz. And thank you guys so much. Hey, we got a few seconds here to talk some more about the Wounded Blue. Randy, about 15 seconds for your final words on the Wounded.
The summit will be in Las Vegas, September 22nd through the 25th. You do not want to miss this. This is life-changing stuff. Save your career, save your marriage, save your relationship. TheWoundedBlue.org. Register now.
Bring your spouse or your girlfriend, significant other. Bring them too. Definitely. They're very welcome there. Guys, yes. Shout out to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Gunler.com, BlueTheGold.com, and Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells and Fish, OrlandoBash.com. Hey, thanks for the support, guys. We'll look for you back on Monday, 12 noon Eastern.